Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Today, and be prepared because it's going to be everything. Well, I should say it differently. It will take everything to keep you from wanting to get up and move. We're talking.
My guest today
is King Arison, and his music is part of a CD, Conga Serenade. And I want to welcome King, and he is in New York right now. Hi, King. How are you?
How are you, Donna? It's wonderful. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I was sent your music by Bruce Marin, I was just absolutely thrilled because it is wonderful always to come in contact with a musician of your background, skill, and expertise. But I have a passion for drums. And your drum playing is just phenomenal. And this music is so upbeat. You've taken different themes. You've done different things. I want my audience to know that you work with Neil Diamond, and you have been involved with him for a number of years. But your history, your background in music is amazing, and you've played with all kinds of superstars. King, how did you discover, first of all, where are you from, and what was it that ignited this passion for the drums?
Well, I am from the Bahamas. I was born and raised in Nassau, Bahamas. The passion for the drums came, my father once owned 3 grocery stores, and every time a lard can or a lard box or any boxes would empty, I would be beating on those things to get my own music. And I would take Folgers coffee cans and make them into bongos and stuff. And then one night, I was walking past a club in the Bahamas in Nassau called the Tropicana Club. And I heard this young man playing the drums. And I stood there and listened for about an hour. And I says, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I can be better than that. So that began the whole scenario with me being a drummer right there. My mother used to cry once a week because, we had to walk like 2 or 3 miles for a bucket of water, and I would beat a hole in the bucket by the time I got to the pump. On the way back home, I have an empty bucket because it couldn't hold the water. So Mom decided, well, she'd better buy this boy some drums before he put her into the poorhouse.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's about how it got started.
Now, did that have any inspiration for the writer of for the song that Harry Belafonte was so famous for, There's a Hole in the Bucket? Is that where it came from?
that song was written just after I started playing the congas.
Oh, shoot.
And every time I heard The Hole in the Bucket, I thought of that, though. I could have wrote that song myself. I put a lot of holes in buckets.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, your mother wouldn't have cried for very long after you had done what you have done. But your journey in becoming a fine musician is one that I think is very interesting. But before we do that, before we go into that story, okay, we're going to wait for just a little bit before we go into some of the tracks of music, but we have got different pieces of music on this CD, And many of them are very, very popular themes. Since we have got something that's presenting a challenge electronically at the moment, let's go into the time frame when you were about 23 years of age. What was it? Give us a brief rundown of what you did as you were acquiring your skills and your expertise. What was it that led you to that magical moment at the age of 23 and a very special man who no longer is with us, Red Fox?
Red Fox, yes. I had a small jazz group here in New York, out of all places, when I was about 21 years old. I met a guy by the name of Tom Murray, who lived in New Jersey, and he saw me in a club in the Bahamas, and he said, you could be a star, so if you would allow me to manage you for a change, I would to bring you into New York and set up a band for you. In those days, I knew only Calypso's, and I listened to some of the Sam Cooke and the Nat King Cole music and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my love was listening to Mongo Santa Maria, people like Olatunji, and Candida was my favorite. But I got to the point where I started a group here in New York with a guy like Spex Williams, who's a fantastic organist, Jimmy McClinton on guitar, and Rashid Ali on drums, all of the great jazz fellas. Of course, all these people were 20 and 30 years older than me, so they taught me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Through working with them and going through the different chitlin circuits in America, I met up with Cannonball Adderley and Jimmy Smith and them. And Cannon became my mentor. One night I was driving from Montreal, Canada, in my van along with the musicians, and I was the youngest and smallest out of the group. So I was stuck behind the organ in the back of the van while the big boys ride up front. We flipped over onto an embankment coming from Canada and ended up down into the ravine. And I had a gig at the time to go to Bertie's Hurricane in Pittsburgh. In any event, we got out of that. And coming out from the bottom of the ravine, that's when I made up my mind. I had enough of Chitlin Circuit, and I was going to Bermuda. Well, then I took off after I finished that engagement. I went to Bermuda, and I opened a club called the 40 Thieves that was belonged to a man named Terry Brennan. Well, I was the star then because I had not so long finished a movie called Thunderball, which I was featured in, which we'll talk about later. But at the 40 Thieves, Red Fox came in like 3 weeks later to be the star of the show. Well, after the first night that Red Fox performed, when I left the stage, everybody walked out, all the tourists left, and the natives didn't know what you were talking about when you say, what's on fire? After all, this is a British colony, Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
So Red Fox went to Terry Brennan, and he says, hey, they used to call me Mr. Bermuda. He said, let Bermuda be the star. He says, because I hate talking to nobody. So Red took the back seat, and from then, he became a great, great friend of mine, and he owned a small club in L.A. And when he finished his 2 weeks engagement, he told me, he says, here's my card. You need to come to America and be somebody. He says, I can get it going for you. Well, the first night I performed in Red Fox Club was Sammy Davis Jr., Lou Rawls, Johnny Carson, and Ed McMahon, and all of them sitting there. And I went to work. When I walked off stage, Johnny Carson said to me, you're very good. So what are you going to do while you're here in L.A.? I says, well, I know tomorrow I'm going to be on your show. He said, is that so?
That's moxie.
Yeah. He said, is that so? I says, yeah, I'll be on your show tomorrow. Well, it wasn't tomorrow. But a week later, Cannonball Adderley called me because his manager's name was John Levy. As a matter of fact, John Levy is still living right now, 98 years old.
Amazing.
Looked fantastic. And John called me and says, Cannon is doing Johnny Carson, and he wants you on the show with him. And that's how it really got started in the L.A. area for me. I became so well-known with Cannonball and people like Leta Mbula, Lou Rawls, and Dave Axelrod, who did all the producing for most of those acts. I became a fixture in the studio business, and that's how I got to meet just about everybody who was anybody in the business and perform with all of them and did sessions for them.
All right. We're going to take a moment now, a minute, to listen to a rendition, The Bumble Boogie. This will get your toes tapping, believe me. We're going to be listening to this, and we'll be right back afterwards. Level of accomplishment. And you were in Thunderbolt. You mentioned that earlier. How did that come about for you to be in the James Bond movie? So those of you listening, if you're a James Bond fan, listen for King Arison. How did you get into Thunderbolt?
Well, you know, the ironic thing, when I got into Thunderbolt, I had just came back from Japan after spending a year in Japan. I went to Japan when I was about 20 years old. I used to dance the limbo, and I had a limbo group with a guy named the Deacon. So we danced the limbo, and it took me all the way to Japan. I got tired of Japan after a year and came back to Nassau. And the same club, the Conch Shell, which I performed in when I was like 16, 18 years old, I got a job back there with a guy named Roy Bow. And Roy Bow was great friends with a guy named Kevin McClory, who was the producer of most of those Bond movies back in those days. And one night I was performing, and in walked Sean Connery and the co-star, the girl that got killed, Priscilla, I can't remember Priscilla's last name.
Oh,
anyhow,
my goodness.
I heard when Sean Connery said to the producer, that's him right there. I didn't know that they were busy looking around the country, including America, for a drummer or something exciting for a particular scene in the film. At that time, I looked at them and was wondering what he was talking about. Well, a day later, Roy Bow came to me and said, I think Sean Connery wants you to play in the movie with him. And that was the biggest, what a great step for me at that time.
Oh, absolutely.
And for 2 weeks, Sean Connery and Terrence Young, who was then the producer, Ken Adams, who was the stage director, stage arranger, and Kevin McClory. For 2 weeks, that entire group, that cast, came into the club every night to make sure I was what they were really looking for. Well, I convinced them. Once I found out that they were really after me, then I put the heat on. And the rest is history.
You were a very persistent and a person, very persistent individual, but a person that thought, if this opportunity is here, I'm going to grab it.
That's what I did.
Yes, yeah. You weren't going to take a back seat. You said, this is it. Let's make it work.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I went around the world, because if I was performing for you in a nightclub and somebody else walked in and said, hey, I can take you to China and pay you such and such and such, and I've never been to China before, I'll come to you and say, hey, Donna, I'm sorry. Jackie just asked me to go to China. So I'll see you when I get back. You know, and most of the time I did that, and I was able to go back to the people that I left because they understand I was young and I was searching for a place in life.
Well, this is another piece we're going to listen to. It's called Dancing Josie, track number 9 on Conga Serenade.
Yeah.
Okay, Josie, go for it. dancing all over the place. Tell us where Dancing Josie came from.
Dancing Josie was written for my mother, Josephine. I figured I'd dedicate something to her. She's dead now. She's been dead for about 12 years. But I wrote that piece for her in memory of her. It's called Dancing Josie.
Well, that's a wonderful way to remember her. I mean, I just see such vibrancy. There's such joy in the music. I think that it's a wonderful memorial to your mother.
She was a very happy gal, and I could just see her dancing in heaven when she hears that.
Oh, absolutely. Gee, I wonder if I should do that when I'm doing ironing. That would really make me get my work done a lot faster. Oh, seriously, all kidding aside, you are a man that was able for this particular CD. You had other Neil Diamond members, band members, Alan Lundgren and Tom Hensley, who actually worked with you in putting this all together.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to decide on what pieces you were going to use for this CD and to actually get it done?
The CD, putting it together, was always something I wanted to do because from when I was a kid, I loved the Lone Ranger. I liked Bumble Boogie. I loved tunes like Apache. As a matter of fact, I am the guy that put together the Incredible Bongo Band with Michael Vina, God rest his soul, who just died the other day. He chose me to be the lead in the Incredible Bongo Band. We did Apache and we did a piece called Bongo Rock by a good friend of mine, Preston Epps. And these things I always wanted to do. I've had several hit albums in the past, L.A. Bound and The Magic Man, A Natural Feeling. They've always all been top 10 albums. But I always wanted to stop singing because I am a half a decent singer. But I wanted to stop singing and do something with all of the things that I loved when I was a boy. And since it's my money, I decided no one could tell me not to.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose these songs, and then I called Alan Lindgren and Tom Hensley to help me arrange them and put them together. And they did a fantastic job. The one piece I always loved was a piece called The Great Escape, which was performed in the film The Great Escape with Steve McQueen. And I love that piece coming up there while he's riding the motorcycle. So I decided to do the things that I liked and hoping that other people would like them as well. But if they didn't, I'll still have an album that I've done what I thought I should do.
Well, I think it's marvelous. I just think it's absolutely fabulous. Now, I wanted to ask you, you have been with Neil Diamond for how long? How long have you been a part of
it? The great story about behind Neil Diamond. I did the first Neil Diamond piece I did with Neil Diamond that was prominent in his mind and most people was the Suleiman track that I did back in 1970-something. All percussion on that track, I went in the studio and did it all by myself. So Neil fell in love with what I was doing and asked me to come on the road with him. Well, we started rehearsing around 1974, but I was busy then with Tony Orlando and Dawn doing the television special. So we rehearsed a bit, and Neil wanted, he was coming out from his retirement of 4 years. Then he decided not to anymore. So in 1976, we really got together. They paid me what I want. And I saw the studio work, you know, I saw studio dying because there are too many machines coming out, boom box this and rhythm machine that, and I said, sooner or later they're going to vote us out for the machines, and that's what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's hardly musicians playing in studios anymore. But to cut a long story short, I've been with Neil now from 76 until now. I think that's 30-something years. And 30-something good years, maybe 33, 34 fantastic years.
Now, you have another piece which I really enjoyed, and that, in fact, I have to say it was my favorite, Enchilada. That's track number 11.
Uh-huh.
I love how this music moves. It's great. So
well,
we're
going to
play
you
a bit of that. know about anybody else, but I can't sit still when that music is playing. I mean, there's just, it just makes you want to get up and move. What a great way to exercise, too, is dancing.
Yeah.
And it's this music that's what's so wonderful about it. One, it is, it's got a joyfulness about it, but two, the rhythms and the drum is so vitally, vitally necessary for that energy in music. And I know what you mentioned about the mechanicalization of various things, but I'll tell you, there's a difference between mechanism and there's a difference between that human energy that goes behind it. And that's what you offer. You have this that comes across on your CD that is so alive and so passionate, and the joy that you have inside of yourself just for the music, the love of music that you've got, just is throughout this CD. Bill Cosby is a man that you have acted with, and Sidney Poitier, both of these men I have the deepest respect for, and I just enjoy them so much as actors, as performers. And you did the remake of The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond, and you know, you've done so many things in your life. Here you are with this particular CD that you have put out because it's been a dream of yours. Where would you like to go from here, King? You're a man that is so talented, so gifted. You've shared the stage with so many people like Barbara Streisand and Michael Jackson. Where else would you like to go?
Well, my next trip is to finish a task that I started many years ago. I'm an 18-year trained actor. I did some pieces, but satisfactory, not yet. And I'm thinking maybe one more album. The next one will be vocal, and it's going to be very upbeat. As a matter of fact, I started on that already, a piece called Gombe Dance and Reggae Lover. I started those things already. But I believe I want to go back and I think now that I'm an older man, I don't think the producers would be afraid of me, or the directors would be afraid of me, the pretty white girls anymore. So they'll hire me now to be in the movies without being afraid of me. So I'm thinking of trying that again.
Well, yeah. King, it's interesting how when you made that remark, how about not being afraid of having you around pretty white girls anymore, things have changed so much.
It has, yes.
And it's so good that it's changed, that we've gotten past many of the boundaries that were put in societally so long ago. And finally, little by little, the eraser of life caused by human action has been working and working fairly well. When you were working with the Temptations, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, when you were involved with Herb Albert, Doc Severinsen, Ringo Starr, David Cassidy, Bobby Darin, Johnny Mathis. Now, Johnny Mathis is still singing and still performing, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He comes into Vegas once a month or once every few months. He takes the place of either Bette Midler or Cher. But he's still singing. He's still very good-looking, very young-looking. And still sings very well.
Here you are with all of these wonderful people. What would you want for the industry itself? What would you like to see as a professional musician be updated in the entertainment industry with all the changes that are going on?
Well, I often thought of, I would like to see music come back to what it used to be. When people like Cannonball Adderley and them made music, when Joe Williams made music, I'd like to see music come back. I have nothing terrible against the rap stuff, but some of it is just not good. It's garbage. And I would like to see more meaning put into these things because we hardly have any young people studying music anymore. And there are no longer any writers. Like I have a son. His name is Dane Diamond Harrison. Write some of the best music you want to hear, because I insist that he study the piano and the drums and stuff, and not depend on the electronical things. So he, along with maybe a handful of young people, reading music and writing proper music and not just turning on a machine and sampling, Like, I learned that, many years ago when, from my albums like the LA Bound and the Magic Man and from the Incredible Bongo Band, 90% of all rappers have sampled all the music I have done for their music. That doesn't mean they're writing music. They're stealing from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see that change.
I think that something that is so valid, it's just like a lot of the material that we see in entertainment, if they could come back to a story, because that is something, when you think of Bobby Darin and the music that he wrote. And
what a talented man he was.
Oh, I mean, and
sweet guy, too.
Yes, and all of these things, it's just marvelous. Now, I know we're just about out of time. What is your website? I mean, Conga Serenade, we know we're going to be able to get it, but let's find out more about you. What is your website?
KingHarrison.com, just www.KingHarrison.com.
Okay.
I also own a small island in the Bahamas called Pestel Beach Resort. They can find me there at times when I'm not in the States.
I'm
there swimming around my beach.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Does that sound luxurious or not? King Harrison, that's K-I-N-G, his last name is spelled E-R-R-I-S-S-O-N, and that's a .com afterwards, but his music is incredible. If you love drums, if you want to feel happy, if you want to have that sense of joy where your whole body just wants to move with that joy, then do get his CD, Conga. Serenade, and
right.
We're going to be playing a couple of minutes of it. King, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule in New York to be with me.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Donna, and I hope we get to do this again sometime.
Oh, I'd love to.
And thank Bruce for touching base with you for me.
Oh, I definitely will. It has been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to listen to a couple of minutes of Conga Serenade.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Doesn't music like that make you feel good? Ah, I just love it. You can be down in the dumps and listening to all of that wonderful, wonderful rhythm. You're not going to stay down for very long. No way. It is just get up and dance kind of music. Feel good. And it's always interesting to me to be able to listen to people's stories about how they came up with certain types of music. And when I found out that Dancing with Josie was dedicated to his mother, I didn't know that before the show. It's just heartwarming. It really is. What a great way to remember the mother that you love so very, very much, who was very supportive, to remember her and to honor her and know that other people will probably be playing that music too. Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are now open. Here is the toll-free number that you can call in and chat with me on. 888, and this is worldwide, by the way, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time caller, remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. That's all. I don't ask you any questions. I just will give you what I perceive. Of course, I'd like to know what part of the country or the world you're calling in from. And then after that, sit back, relax, and enjoy. I'll give you my perceptions, and then you're more than welcome to ask a question about anything that you have a concern about. And also, if you have an interest or a curiosity about the area of mind and you would like to ask me a question, I'd be delighted to be able to give you whatever I have learned in my many years of being involved. I don't know it all, but I'll be happy to share with you what I do. So give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Many people of just about every age have a difficulty driving at night. Why? There's all kinds of things that can affect the eye. Many times with the changes, for example, in headlights, you can literally feel like you're being blinded by lights because of the brightness of those lights. And even if you look over to the side, the opposite side of the road, it still is something that can create a lot of distortion. Well, we see advertisements on television for buying special glasses, and you can fit them over your regular glasses, or you wear them in place of, I guess, dependent on your vision. But you're able to deal with the glare. Well, they've gone another step further. They are in the process of developing a plant pigment that might be able to help us with our vision. They said it might take a pill or maybe just something so simple as squeezing drops into the eyes. Now, this is a relatively new science. It's due to an unusual deep sea fish and, again, a plant pigment. Now, in the 1990s, there was a marine biologist, Ron Douglas, of City University, London. He found in his research, unlike other deep sea fish, there's a dragonfish that can perceive red light. And he was surprised when he was able to isolate the chemical that was responsible for absorbing the color red and identified it as chlorophyll. Yeah, chlorophyll. We've all heard about chlorophyll. He said he felt it was really, really strange because chlorophyll, where is it found? In plants, of course. To find it in a fish? Well, he couldn't figure that one out for a while. When you find chlorophyll in plants, which is just about every plant that there is, it gathers light, energy. That's what it's used for photosynthesis. Now, somehow or another, this dragonfish had co-opted chlorophyll, and it could have come from bacteria in their food, and the body of the fish, the chemistry of the fish, made it a vision enhancer. Now, in 2004, Mr. Washington, who's an ophthalmic scientist at Columbia University Medical Center, he came across the findings of the biologist, Ron Douglas, marine biologist. And Dr. Washington knew that the mechanisms involved in vision tend to be similar throughout the animal kingdom. So he wondered, I wonder if chlorophyll could also enhance the vision of other animals, including humans. So he worked on mice and rabbits. And what happened was that when he would use it with the mice and rabbits, it doubled their ability to see well in low light. He found that the pigment absorbed hues of red light that normally are invisible in dim conditions. And then the information is transferred to the brain, allowing enhanced vision. Now, what he's doing right now, Dr. Washington, is trying to see the ways that you could deliver chlorophyll to the human eye safely and easily. He suspects it's going to be done through eye drops. And he said a night vision drug would also be useful on the battlefield. So, guess who's interested? The U.S. Department of Defense, of course. They're funding all of his work. And what that would do, it would make it possible for the men and women on a battlefield not to have to use nighttime goggles when they were having to work in the dark. Science is amazing. Just think of the difference it could make. Chlorophyll being put in the eyes. It's amazing. So that just reinforces everything you were told by your mother. Eat greens. Yes. And don't forget a few of those carrots. That helps too. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here's the toll-free telephone number of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, are you a person that just really wants to keep in shape? You want to eat healthy, and you say to yourself, how can I do this and have foods that really taste good? Well, I have a couple of suggestions for you that I think that you really might enjoy. And I want you to get a pad of paper and a pen, and then I will share a recipe with you that I think will not only satisfy your taste buds, but will also enable you to stay as trim as you would like to be. So I'll give you some time to do that. I wanted to also give you a few tips that I had come across relative to some various items, and one of them had to deal with some animals. And for the life of me, I have misplaced my information. But in the process of finding that, I wanted to share with you something that if you're using air conditioning and you wanted to cut the cost on air conditioning, so many parts of the country, they are just cooking right now, but it's that time of the year. Well, wax paper can be of assistance to you. What you do, the wax paper, you cut sheets of it to fit the shapes of your windows and you tape or tack them to the sides of the panes. And what it does, the film will deflect the heat from the sun, keeping the inside of your house cooler and helping your air conditioner work less. Meanwhile, the paper still lets in enough light to brighten your day. And also, if you are really wanting to get things through the mail fast and cheap, someone sent a suggestion to me saying, if you're thinking of sending something priority mail, skip it and stick to the cheaper first-class rate. There was a recent test done. The price of your service, which costs $4.95, did not deliver packages significantly faster than regular mail, which is a mere 44 cents. In fact, 4 out of 5 times, they arrived on the same day. A little bit scary. Also, you'll find many times, as I have in the post office, you have your first class rate and you have your priority rate. And they've made changes to date. Sometimes the difference between first class and priority is like a nickel. That's right. And it's not going to get there any faster. Priority has the same guarantee. Also, double check when you're doing overnight. Many times they're not going to be able to deliver overnight. So you might want to check with your post office before you send an item if you're sending it to a place you're not familiar with. And make sure that you know that where you're sending it to is not going to take 2 days. Because it may, and I know this happened to me just recently, I went and sent something, priority. And if you don't put a tracer on something, it may take, depending on what part of the country you're sending it to, and this went to Maryland, it was almost 2 weeks before they got this priority package. Almost 2 weeks. So you need to check things out. If you really want to get something there fast and they can guarantee it, you know, at a certain time the very next day, that is great. But you'll find many times they're not able to do it. So be aware of the time frames and check with your local post office to find out how quickly something will be getting there. When we come back, I'll have a special recipe for you that I think will tickle your taste buds and enable you to keep that slim, trim look that you want so very much. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Okay, I told you that I had a recipe that I thought you would like. I don't know if you're a person that enjoys chicken. I absolutely love it. And I found this recipe for a mango salsa. And for summer, having something that's flavorful, that's light, that's really going to be enjoyed by you. And this is something that is going to be satisfying. Many times, especially if you're trying to keep yourself slim and trim, you think you have to sacrifice good taste. That's not the case at all. Don't feel like you have to starve yourself to death, for heaven's sakes, if you are trying to get trim or if you're wanting to stay trim. Now, this is how the recipe goes. It's so simple. It is so easy because this is barbecue time. Everybody is wanting to cook outside just about. Or you can use a broiler to prepare these foods. Now, this is serving 4 people. You want 4 4-ounce boneless, skinless chicken breasts. You want 4 4-ounce boneless, skinless chicken breasts. You're going to need 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper, quarter of a teaspoon of ground black pepper, a teaspoon each of olive oil. No, excuse me. Let me correct that. A teaspoon of olive oil is all you need, and a tablespoon then of rice wine vinegar. One tablespoon of rice wine vinegar. You need one ripe mango, and you want to dice it sort of fine. It'll come out to about a cup. And then you're going to need a half a cup of finely diced red onion. And if you don't have red onion, you can use another kind of onion. One green bell pepper, you want to finely dice it. One green bell pepper, finely diced. And if you didn't have one of those, you could use a red one, or a yellow one, or an orange one, whatever you like. But a green bell pepper gives a type of color. And then you want to have brown rice, and that's about 2 cups. It's a half a cup a serving. And again, this is portion control. If you really like this, don't worry about that. But anyway, here you go. All you need to do is prepare your broiler, if that's the way you want to cook it, or your grill. And then you want to season your chicken breast with your salt and pepper on both sides, and then you want to grill it over medium heat for about 5 minutes on each side until the juices run clear. And you can test that just by putting a small point of a sharp knife in to your meat to see how that does. And then in a small bowl, what you want to do is whisk the olive oil and the vinegar and add all of the other ingredients except your rice, and you want to toss them all in this mixture of your olive oil, wine vinegar. You want to have your mango, your onion, your bell pepper. Then you pour your mango salsa over your grilled chicken breast. Yeah, you don't even have to cook it. You just mix it and serve it over the chicken breast. And, of course, you have your half a cup of brown rice. A nice, light meal. That'll give you some space for that. Chocolate fudge banana sundae or something. That could go along with it. And, of course, if you wanted, you could have a delicious salad to go along with it. I know, I'm just being a stinker. But, hey, it is the time. It's the ice cream sundae time. This is summertime. Yes, yes, yes. Well, we'll leave that one behind. That's true. You don't want to say, Donna, you were just talking about saying trim. What's the deal here? Well, you know how that goes. Ice cream is great. When we were out at the Ren Fair, it was so warm out there. I know that my husband said, oh, Donna, I just want ice cream. This is what I want. Isn't it amazing how when you grow up, depending on what you are brought in contact with, how ice cream can make such an impression on the psyche? Of course, it tastes good. And I think homemade ice cream is absolutely awesome. I wanted to share a story with you because we're in political times of upheaval and all kinds of rhetoric is going around. And normally I don't go into anything like that. But don't think we are the only ones in history that have had people that were not necessarily honest and were less than desirable. I have a story here about Ila Gabalus. Yes, he was called the Horrible. Now, he was a Roman emperor, and he was absolutely hideous. When he invited you for dinner, you didn't know whether you were going to be able to eat the dinner or you were going to be part of the ceremony where somebody was going to assassinate you. Now, this was a young emperor, Elagabalus of Rome, and this guy was weird. And what he would do, he would do practical jokes on his subjects. Bless their hearts, they weren't very fortunate to be called his subjects. One of his greatest joys was to invite the 7 fattest men in Rome to dinner. They were seated on air cushions that slaves then punctured, sending the fat men sprawling on the floor. Others that were invited to dinner might be served artificial food made of glass, marble, or ivory. And by Roman etiquette standards, you had to eat it. You wonder what their teeth were like after they finished. When they did serve real food, guests were likely to find spiders in the aspic or lion's dung in the pastry. Ugh. Anyone who dined too well and fell asleep might wake up in a room filled with lions, leopards, and bears. If he survived the shock, he found that the animals usually were tame. Now this emperor, which I didn't know anything about until just recently, he reigned from AD 218 to 222. He loved animals, and his chariot was pulled by dogs, stags, lions, or tigers. but he was just as likely to arrive at a state function in a wheelbarrow pulled by naked women. I told you there are weirdos in history. Well, he's a big one. Often he'd order his slaves to gather spiders' webs, frogs, scorpions, or poisonous snakes that he'd send to his courtiers as gifts. On one occasion, he had the seemingly pleasant idea of showering his dinner guests with rose petals. He used so many that some of his guests suffocated. They couldn't breathe. They were covered with them. Now, the state of Rome was bankrupted by him, his extravagant idiosyncrasies. For example, he'd order a magnificent bath to be built, use it once, and then have it demolished. But if you'll notice, the time frame I mentioned that he was in power was rather short. The Praetorian Guard, his own personal guard, murdered him on the orders of his grandmother, and his body was put into the Tiber. He was 18 years old. Yes, people like that do exist. Fortunately, somebody, his relative, said, enough is enough. A little bit of history there for you. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the laws of manifestation. It is going to be a little bit of conga music that we're going to go out with on today's show. We'll see you right back here on BBSRadio.com. Same time, same place. Don't forget, conga, serenade. That's what you're hearing. By King Arison. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.